Christ is risen.
Indeed, he is risen. Welcome to our kitchen table.
Yes. This is more of a special recording podcast. And I wanted to do it before. I just didn't find time for this. But something that lays deeply in my heart. No, hard on my heart.
Yeah, especially since you become a priest.
Become a priest, yeah. And I mean, living with
in the priestly
in the priest family, you hear stories and stuff. The other day, I went to visit a sick person, and this happened a couple of times. And I'm not going to name from which parish or whatever, doesn't matter. To you, it might be as just an imaginary example. Mm-hmm. And I was given a text that, Father, this person is at the
rehab. Or
it's
something?
At the rehab.
Could you go visit them?
Could you go visit them? I said, absolutely. So I looked up and the rehab is open up, and I was there they open at 9, I was there 9:02, mm-hmm. as soon as I could have been there. I was thankful that person, the family member messaged me. Mm-hmm. But I want to stress something as a priest, and I think many other priests will agree with me with this. And this is more of like a direction, more than anything, to not just teach your children, well, teach your spouses, but also teach your children when you get older, so they know exactly what they need to do when you get sick.
And for when your parents get sick.
Yeah, and when your parents get sick. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but good point. When a person gets sick and you are about to call 911, call 911 and say, you do what you need to do, call ambulance. When you hang up, the second phone call should be calling to the priest. Go, Father, even if it's at 3:00 in the morning, say, Father, my mom or my father slipped, broke a hip.
Having a heart attack.
Doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Having a toothache. Mm-hmm. We are going to hospital, to emergency. Mm-hmm. Just be on standby in case there's something wrong. When we get there to the emergency, we'll give you a call where the room is so you can come see her. Mm-hmm. Or him or kid, whatever. This is the proper procedure, because if you wait until the person is in rehab or until the person is in a bad shape in ICU and you don't know if the person is going to make, that's already too late to call person, not just for last rites. So in Byzantine Catholics or Orthodox, we don't have last rites. Mm-hmm. Well, we do, but they're given, it's the same thing, it's complicated, but what we do is we give holy anointing, which helps body and soul to heal. If not bodily, then in soul. And priest at the bedside can decide if the person needs to get last rites, so then there are other prayers that can be included. Mm-hmm. But that should be the procedure. Call the 911. Mm-hmm. Call the priest immediately, so the priest knows that the person is going to the hospital,
right,
and that you will let him know immediately when he can come.
Right, the soonest that he can possibly be there.
Because
he should be there. Yeah.
You cannot play God. You cannot play, well, they're going to emergency and we'll call them and they go to the room.
And they'll probably be okay.
And they'll be probably okay. Sometimes that's not the case. Mm-hmm. You know, I had so many close calls in my parish, mm-hmm. that people, and it's no judgment, it was just a bad formation and I'm judging them. But it's very important to call the priest, mm-hmm. to take care of the necessity from the church side and let the doctors deal with the person. And if person becomes better in a week, the priest can come again, give the communion, and go on their way. I had many of cases like that too, that they said, you know, Father, thanks for coming. We'll call you when this person will be in a different room, and you can come see them whenever.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. And that was the proper procedure. And I was very happy too that this happened. So,
but it's also a missed, I'm sorry for interrupting, it's also a missed opportunity for, like, myself as the wife of a priest to offer prayer for the person that is in emergency.
Yeah.
If you're going to the hospital, that is part of what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that is something. Someone is praying for you and for your loved one at that time.
Yeah.
And I know that Marcella has always been that way.
Yeah.
And, you know,
you're the same way.
Well, yeah. And as soon as you're, I know you've, your dad has told me these stories. You have told me these stories. As soon as your dad, even in the middle of the night, would get a call like that, immediately Marcella would be up with your dad and she would be heading for the church.
Yep.
And it's such a beautiful thing. And I aspire to be that,
yeah.
You know, we haven't had, thankfully, thank God, knock on wood,
yeah.
Any like serious middle of the night things. But that is also something. There will always be somebody like interceding on your behalf.
Sure, sure. And it's a beautiful point. And here is another thing that, what happens is if I know that the person can receive, and usually I always take Eucharist with me.
Mm-hmm.
I learned my lesson once, and ever since then I
take it every
take
time.
Take it every time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I go to church, I put it in my pouch, which is laying on my heart. It's bright blue with a beautiful cross on it, and I carry it. And ever since I put the Eucharist in the pouch, I'm silent.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole drive, and here in Pittsburgh, it's you go 5 miles, but you drive half an hour.
Yeah.
So you have half an hour to pray for that person. Just to be in with present, you have Christ on your chest, and you're just praying for that person,
mm-hmm.
for half an hour.
Right.
And usually, when I leave, I tell you two things: pray for this person, and please lock the doors.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so now there are two people already praying for that sick person.
Mm-hmm.
They will not. Family, if they are in distress, they are not going to pray.
Well, they may forget.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Like they might forget for a while. So
yeah.
Why not to use the resources that the church is giving you and ask for those who are able to pray?
Yeah. Very good point.
So I think it was on my chest for a year and a half, I think.
Yeah.
Well, more than that. But...
I have something to say. If you want,
sure.
If you want to continue, sorry.
But just please teach yourself, teach your parents, teach your children,
mm-hmm.
the proper procedure. Some priests might be very annoyed with me right now that I am saying that we are available at any time.
Mm-hmm.
True is we are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is our job. Our job is to save souls, to take care of the souls, no matter what time it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as long as. We are not doing already like divine liturgy or something.
Sure.
You know,
yeah.
I even have had those kind of cases that family came to me right after divine liturgy and said, Father, you need to go.
Yeah. And it was when you were covering at a parish. Remember that?
Well, that
was
too.
Crazy.
Here too.
Yeah.
You know, and I went and.
Wow. Yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah. And it was cool. It gives me still goosebumps. It's.
Yeah.
One of them was beautiful experience. One of them was. A tragic experience.
Yeah.
But both of them are very teachable moments.
Yeah.
You know? So, but you wanted to say something too.
Yeah. Well, just when... I just remember when you came home from the hospital from visiting this person that you said, they're just so lonely.
Mm-hmm.
And alone.
Yeah.
And there is... almost no word in the world that makes me more sad than that.
Yeah.
And I don't know. We leave our old people alone too much.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that I will encourage. I I am guilty of it myself through and through, but
so am
I. I want to do better, but I'm encouraging anyone who's listening that our older people at our churches, and not even at our churches, but just our older loved ones, are so alone sometimes. They don't have anyone to talk to. They could possibly see no one for an entire week. And you know, some of the older people that come to our churches on Sundays, maybe the only time they see or talk to anyone is on Sunday.
Yeah.
Okay, and it is not hard to make a meal for someone, or even just stop over and say hello, or write them a card.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, but
so just stop by at their table and just sit down and ask them, as you said,
yeah,
how are you? How was your weekend?
Exactly.
Or weekday?
Well, and not only that, but I got in a conversation on Facebook about this. I posted about conversation,
mm-hmm.
having genuine conversation where you're actually talking to someone.
Yeah.
But and you and I talked about this a lot right after you came back from this hospital visit. Just that.
Actually called her on my way back.
Yeah, yeah. I remember that. These people have years, entire lifetimes of wisdom.
Yeah.
Three times our lifetime,
mm-hmm.
of wisdom. And can you imagine? They've lived entire lives.
Yeah.
They've had
decades.
They've had families. They have children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And you think that they have nothing to tell us? It's heartbreaking,
yeah.
that we just forget them.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. Sometimes you think to yourself, man, maybe I would, like, I'm not a good conversationalist. You're a horrible small talker. Like, you are like the worst of the worst.
The worst.
Okay, but I'm okay at small talk, but I still I still feel kind of awkward,
yeah.
when I don't know what to ask someone.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I think I sometimes think that, you know, some of these people that maybe don't have someone to talk to a lot would be just overjoyed to hear the question, "How did you meet your wife?"
Mm-hmm.
Or "How did you meet your husband?" Or "How many children did you have? Or did you have children?"
Yeah.
What did you do, if you're asked?
Where did you work?
Yeah, where did you work? Did you work in the mills here,
mm-hmm.
in Pittsburgh?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, can you tell me about your life a little bit? Like, people...
Like, how did the South Side look during your time?
Exactly. Yeah, how did this four-mile run look? I don't know, Greenfield, whatever.
Four-mile,
five-mile run, however many miles it is. How did it look when you were young? You know, how has it changed? You know, it's like simple questions like that could really help someone just open up and
bring good memories and
happiness.
Yeah.
For crying out loud. Like, why is it so hard?
Or in
to
my
ask?
Case, I would just make them really more sad.
Gosh, you're the worst.
No, just make them cry.
No, but it just like there. It should take nothing,
mm-hmm.
for you to walk up to someone at your parish, at your social, after church on Sunday, and say, you know what? I've been really meaning to ask you.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say hi for a long,
mm-hmm.
time, and I'm really sorry that I haven't.
Sure.
But, you know, can you tell me a little bit about yourself? Like, you seem like a person that has a lot to share.
Yeah.
Because, oh my gosh, can you imagine 70, 80, 90 years of life?
And in my parish, we have a few older generation people whose jobs were just so stinking cool,
mm-hmm.
that the young people would just be
mind blown
from it. So, I mean, if you are from my parish, there is your hint.
Mm-hmm.
Find them.
Yeah.
Because they have some beautiful stories to say, and look, because of them, the churches are built.
Yeah. Exactly. Yep.
You know, their parents built the churches.
And that's another really good thing.
Yeah.
Because some of, like, not only about their life, but their faith. Like, how were they brought up?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What did their parents do? What did they do as children? How had they seen the church transform? Yeah. You know, what makes them sad about the church?
Yeah.
What makes them happy about the church? Mm-hmm. I'm sure at Chrysostom, a lot of people will say, it's amazing to hear all these kids.
Yeah.
You hear these babies singing, literally singing so beautifully. Mm-hmm. Some babies are screaming. Some are actually singing. Yeah.
One of my parishioners started a little choir.
Oh.
We have about 4 to 5 girls.
Oh.
And I think the list is going to grow a little bit.
Absolutely.
When the other girls will grow up a little bit more.
Yep.
Anyways. But, it's important.
It is. It is. It's something that I'm so encouraging you. Visit, and even if it's your own family, visit them.
Yeah.
I was telling Miran just yesterday, my mom has told me in the past that...
Cool story, though.
Yeah, that, on Sunday, my grandma would make a meal or do something, and they, all 6 girls, or maybe all 4, it might have been before the 2 youngest were born, would go to visit someone and just sit and talk.
And bring a meal.
Or bring
snack,
a dessert or something. And just be with those people.
Mm-hmm.
And without phones in your hands, without earbuds in your ears,
yeah.
without anything in front of your face, just be human.
Actually, when you said that last night about your grandma, it reminded me a lot from our second parish. Where
Slovakia.
In Slovakia on Sunday or a feast day when... people will not go to work.
Mm-hmm.
They will visit each other.
Oh, I love that.
They will bring a bottle, or the guys will bring the bottle. They will go in the back shack and drink the whole thing, and the ladies would have coffee and dessert up front. But that's not just something that friends do. That's Christian.
Yeah, it is.
Christians gather together. To celebrate the resurrection of Christ, if it's on Sunday,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yep,
and
it's just love.
It's just love,
genuine.
love for one another.
Yeah,
keeping the Christ commandments. With that being said, too, I want to say one more thing. This might not be a popular thing.
Opinion.
Thing. Everything is a thing for me. It's after 9 o'clock. My English is
no vocabulary left.
Absolutely not. I don't have the luxury. I've never had the luxury because I'm son of a priest. So we always moved around, but we were always close to family.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that even now in today's world, you can find job anywhere. And while connecting to our other book, Path to Salvation, I'm sure that we will get to the point sometimes in future, is that, look, when parents get older, they will become more lonely. The worst thing we can do is just move far, far away.
And abandon them.
Yeah. And rush, literally rushing when something bad happens to them.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I remember a story. I actually had to memorize the story for my 4th grade class.
Assignment or something?
Well, it was like a whole school. You had to like say the whole story.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. I hated it. I hate memorization. Anyways, the story was that there was a king and had 3 sons. And the king gave each son like a sturdy stick, but stick was fragile enough that each son could break it on its own in the hands.
Okay.
And then the king took those broken sticks away, threw them away, and then he put 3 sticks in each hand, for each son, and he told them, try to break them now.
Mm-hmm.
And they could not.
Yeah.
They could bend them, they could maybe hear a little bit of crackling, but they could not break the sticks.
Mm-hmm.
And he tried to tell them a lesson, is that, look, when I die, my kingdom will be divided between 3.
Mm-hmm.
If you keep together, it will be strong.
Mm-hmm.
If you divide, you fall apart.
And I think, I know this is very cultural and many will disagree with me, but our job is to be as close to our parents as possible.
Yeah.
And to be in really rock throw distance,
mm-hmm.
especially when they get older. And same thing for children.
Yeah.
You know, for me it is still such a weird thing to me to get through my head that children will go thousands of miles away for college,
mm-hmm.
for a degree that they could get 100 miles.
Right. Yeah.
It's mind-blowing to me.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing with jobs.
Yeah.
You know, sure, maybe the job pays more, but what's the cost of living?
Yeah.
Is it the same?
Sure.
Or is it more?
Mm-hmm.
What I'm trying to say is, look, I don't know what Miron will choose to be. I pray that he will become a priest, but it will be his decision. And same thing with Milia. But I want him close by.
Yeah.
And that will be one of those things that, well, you will be where we are.
Yeah.
Maybe not next door. I will get tired of that. But but in the same city.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that if I was not a priest, that we would stay in our hometowns.
Yeah.
Somewhere in the middle,
yeah.
between both of our parents.
Right.
Easily accessible. And I would teach our children to be close by to us.
Yeah.
Within short radius.
Right. Well, and so that
let me just finish the thought.
Yeah.
You might think it's crazy, but at the same time, if your children move away, they have very high chance that they will break away from faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because world is so much more
attractive
than Christian life.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants to carry the cross. But if the children stay together and they struggle together in a Christian way, taking out the same cross and seeing their parents still working so hard for their church. Look, now, very little churches will be built.
Mm-hmm.
Now the important part is to build the church within the church.
Mm-hmm.
And I see a lot of our friends, good friends, are doing that.
Yeah.
They're building church within the church.
Mm-hmm.
They don't see it, but it's happening.
Yeah.
Don't let your children slip away just by moving away for no stupid reason.
Right.
And I know I'm just 30 years old. I have no life experience.
Mm-hmm.
But seeing older people in hospitals
hurt.
Alone. If you disagree with me, then next time you can come with me.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see the pain. And you will see immediately that moving away or letting them go away just because they want to, for no reason, is not worth it.
Yeah.
So.
And your parents give you their whole life.
Yeah.
And just spend some time with them.
Yeah. So. Three mini topics within a big topic, but.
Yeah. And we're both crying.
You're crying.
You're crying, dude.
No, but so. This time might be the most popular podcast, and that's okay. But sometimes truth has to be said.
Yeah.
So, anything else?
No.
Okay. God bless you. Have a wonderful day, and always keep in your heart that Christ is risen.
Indeed.